going to read from Psalm 102, verses 1 through 20. You know, I listened to something the other day and I heard this. In the early Pentecost, this was one of the guys, he prayed 5 hours a day, and he wasn't receiving what he wanted. He said, "Lord, what must I do?" He said, "Pray more." And he went to 7 hours a day, and that started a movement of Pentecost on the West Coast. Right. Amen. So if we think we prayed enough, let's pray more. Let's pray now. Heavenly Father, we are grateful and we're thankful this morning, Lord, for this privilege and opportunity. Lord, you have brought us together. Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit will bind our hearts even closer. Lord, in time of our trouble and need, just let us keep praying and seeking you, Lord, that you come into us and deliver. God, we thank you. And for all these that are sick today, Lord, just bless them and guide them. For every need that everyone have, Father, just let us pray that you would give it unto us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. We're going to Psalm 102. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto thee.
Hide not thy face from me in the day when I am in trouble. Incline thine ear unto me in the day when I call, and you speak to me.
For my days are consumed like smoke, and my bones are burned as an heart.
My heart is smitten and withered like grass, so that I can give it to thee, my brother.
By reason of the voice of my groaning, my bones have cleaved to my skin. I watch, and I am as a sparrow alone upon the housetop. For I have eaten ashes like bread, and mingle my drink with weeping. My days are like a shadow that declineth, and I am withered like grass.
But thou, O Lord, shalt endure forever, and thy remembrance unto all generations.
Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come.
For thy servants take their pleasure on the throne, and favor the servant.
So the heathen shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth thy glory.
When the Lord shall build the Zion, he shall appear in his glory.
He will regard the prayer of the destitute, and not despise their prayer.
This shall be written for the generation to come, and to the people shall be able to pray
for the Lord. For he has looked down from the height of his sanctuary. From heaven did the Lord behold the earth, to hear the groaning of the prison, to loose those that are appointed to death. God bless you. Be seated.
Amen, amen.
Okay, let's turn over to 176 in this power board. That's 176. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchased. just of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, and this is my song, praising my Savior.
The page. A land where we'll never grow old. I have heard of a land on a far away strand. 'Tis a beautiful home of the soul, built by Jesus on high. There we never
that land where we'll never grow. In that beautiful home where we'll never more roam, we shall be in the sweet by and by.
See everybody in the house of the Lord. Good to have everybody with us, and all Brother Duty and Ernest with us, and all glad to see you. Good to see some back that are sick. Our sister Johnny, she's back with us.
And
Brother Darty and all of these that have been out and everything because of the sicknesses, and we just appreciate God taking care of everything and doing everything. Amen. Remember now the Bible study. Oh, downstairs in the Sunday school room and where we eat, there is a video camera thing, et cetera, whatever you say it, you know, that's there announcing all of the special services. All right? So if you ever want to know, just go downstairs and look. There's no excuse for somebody to come along and say, well, I didn't know that was going on. All of the services you know, to the announcement of the Bible study to be coming up in, you know, the first week in February. It gives you the time, gives you the fellowship meeting coming up. When it's coming, it gives all of the things on the wall there now. So go down and read them, you know, and see what they are, and then you'll know all about it. Amen? And remember now, especially this banquet that we have. You know, a lot of you people never get together with each other. You have no fellowship. Well, you know, we offer once a year for a husband and wife to get together, come and have a fellowship time with other brothers and sisters from the church. Well, you know, what's the problem? We take care of everything. There's no trouble. The place is there. And we want you to come, a couple, together. And that way we can fellowship as a church together. All right? And bringing your wife out for a night out. Why not? Don't you think that much of her? That once a year, you could take her out for a meal and a fellowship together.
Don't cost
nothing. All it is just a fellowship together. All we ask you to do, dress up, you know, a little, because you ought to, in honor of the rest of the people. And, you know, and no children allowed or nothing, because they're just, you can't handle that there in the building. So it's supposed to be for the husband and wife. And then, too, for us to fellowship together.
Amen.
Well, all right. You may not like me, but at least one time a year you could put up with me for a couple of hours, you know, to do that. All right? Is that honest? But just, you know, remember that. And they're down on announcement. Everything's being announced. And but make sure now for the banquet that you sign up, because, you know, we have to know about the food, the doings and everything, how to set and arrange and everything. All right? So do those things. Amen? Are you enjoying the series that Wade is bringing?
Amen.
So just pray that the Lord would bless you. I ask you still again, if you'll listen to questions and answers on Genesis, or read it. It's in the Conduct, Order, and Doctrine book, the book number one. I think it's some first message, might not be, but it's questions and answers on Genesis. So, because that's what we're still on, is going through some of those things. All right? But just pray one for another. Okay, let's sing as our brother comes to minister the word of the Lord unto us.
We sing, holy, 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 high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
You love him this morning.
Holy, 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 you are holy, 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 yes, you're holy, 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 I want to see you.
Amen. The angels sing it every day, all day long, but buddy, when a child of God asks something from his father, they shut up. Because their daddy wants to hear what the kids have to say.
Amen.
What an expression.
Exactly.
What an expression of love. Those angels were created just for one thing, for worship. And they can't sing the same songs we sing.
Right.
Never been lost.
Right.
Never had a bad day in their life. Never went through ups and downs. They can't call him daddy. They can't call the Almighty Father. They just worship him as a holy creator. But we know him as the Lord Jesus Christ. Good to be back in the house of the Lord. Good to have all of you here. Full house today. That's good. I told June the other day we're getting on temperance, but I needed to get you mad enough before we started to see how it would work. So I hope I did last Sunday. If I didn't, I'll start again today. You know, Brother Bram said God had put a man in your way, right?
Say something to see how you'd react, not how he'd react, how you'd react. So some of you reacted wonderful last Sunday. You didn't come back second service, so that's okay. 2 Peter 1, verse 1 through 11. I'm just quoting Bible here, people. It's just the Bible. We've forgotten how to be Christians. Brother Dale and I were talking about this, going down to pick up Brother Luis. Good to have him back. Man, Lord did a mighty work down there with his body and with his soul. Preaching to the people and interpreting and got to preach himself. So he took you down there with you. So it's good to see him back. All good and healthy. Now before we read the announcements, Dad went through all of them. The monitor downstairs, please read that thing because it takes the place of that little thing we used to write downstairs. And it continues to scroll so you can read and figure out what time things are. And as far away as the Father's Day fishing trip in June. So it tells you when, where, and what's going on. So I thank Brother Joe and Brother Richard Roberts and Brother Bob and Brother Anderson and all of them that put all that together to make that happen. So it'll always be before you. So if you can, you know, if you read it, you will not have to come up the 2 days before and say, what are y'all talking about? We have had that happen several times. Announce it every Sunday and the people not understand it. Also, I'd like to apologize for Wednesday night. That was not a cell phone that went off. That was my iPad on the front seat. I had it on with the Bible, you know, reading the Bible, with pulling up the Bible and the scriptures and all, and somebody's son that I work with, now Jacob sent me a text, and it dinged. Well, he didn't just send the text to me, he sent it to somebody else. And somebody else sent him one, and it dinged. So by the time I got it off, it done dinged a couple of times. So it's off now, you won't ever be able to hear it. But it was an iPad, it wasn't an iPhone, so... But it was mine. It was eyes. So I apologize. I apologize. That it was mine. On the front row, you know. I'm sorry. I apologize for that. Just have a little patience with me because I forget some things sometimes. I told Jen this morning, I said, you're going to have a treat tomorrow. She's never been with a 55-year-old man before. She will tomorrow. Tomorrow will be my 55th birthday, so I'll be double nickels. And Marlo over there, he's going to be 173 tomorrow, so. Downhill from now on. The twins have a birthday today. We have several people that are celebrating birthdays. But Lord bless you. You know what? I'd rather be here than anywhere else. So I'm not worried about time. Time will take care of itself. We just got to worry about getting ready. Amen? Got to worry about getting ready to get out of here. 2 Peter 1, remember too also is, I have a little app on that iPhone that reminds me, it dings every time there's 30 days left for me to fly out to the Philippines. So it reminded me this morning that I got 30 days. So just keep me in your prayer that we will, we're looking for a good time in the Lord. Amen. Let's bow our heads before we get started. Dear Lord Jesus, we pray today, Lord, that as we were back there in the back and old Brother Bob come upstairs with tears in his eyes and a smile on his face and said, the Lord came down in the Sunday school class this morning and blessed somebody. So I hugged him and wanted some of that on me. So I pray that it will help each and every one of us as we believe in your anointing, Father. We believe in the Holy Spirit, but we also believe in adding on a little. Add to your faith, because the prophet of God said faith won't do it alone. It takes all these virtues to make a perfect man. Yes. Father, forgive us of our sins and our many mistakes that we make against you, Lord. We commit them all to you. Please be the active participant in this service, not a bystander, Lord, of recording of our thoughts and ideas, because most of the time they're wrong, Father. But we pray today that we would focus our attention solely on you, Lord. Get away from the man and listen to the voice, Father. Because in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he begins to sound, this mystery, this Christ in you, the hope of glory, will be finished. We pray that you'd be with the sick ones that are among us and the ones that are not here, Lord. Thanks for bringing the ones back that have been sick. We ask you to continue to bless us. Anoint us with that healing anointing, the healing anointing power that's still in your word, Father. It's never diminished. Just bless us now, Lord. Take care of us. Take care of us in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Peter 1, verse 1. It's wonderful to see somebody walk upstairs crying like a baby and saying, boy, the Spirit of the Lord fell. That's good. That's a good start to a good any service. Simon Peter, and the servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith, so it's to a group of people that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power, not man's power, not your thoughts, but the divine power, hath given unto us all things that pertaineth unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given, so they're gifts, unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these, the prophet said, these promises, ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And that's not just, that's a lot of other things we're going to talk about today. That word lust, we may get into a little bit, but it's not just only beastly lust. It's lust for a lot of things. You know, when we see that word lust, we think, well, it's a sexual thing, but it's really not. You can have lust for a lot of things. Right. All right. And besides this, giving all diligence, beside this, in other words, beside adding this divine nature, beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Not somebody else's, not the pastor's faith, not your wife's faith, not the faith of your neighbor, your faith. Amen. So this is personal. Add to your faith virtue. To virtue, knowledge. And knowledge, temperance. To temperance, patience. Patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. For if, there's that word if, you have to decide, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The reason we're barren or not bearing fruit is that right there. Right. If these things be in you and abound, they make you. Right. But verse 9, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. That's what I'm trying to stir up today. Right. He that lacketh these things is blind and can't see afar off. We may think we're way up here in the top of the pyramid, but if you don't live them and people don't see them, I don't care what comes out of your mouth.
Right.
Amen? Doesn't matter to me anymore what comes out of somebody's mouth. We got to live that life. Amen. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. You may be seated in the Lord as a blessing to the reading of the word. You shall never, what a promise, you shall never fall. You say, oh, we fall all the time. No, we backslide. It's like Brother William said. He said, some of us, you know, backsliding is slow. Some people just fall off the cliff. All right? That's not backsliding. Backsliding is backing up slow or just staying in the same place. So now let's see. Let's pull the pyramid back up here and the chart. And we're going to go through and just background just for a few minutes because I enjoy backgrounding a little bit. Even for us that's been here the whole time, we still need to background a little bit. All right? So remember, this is the centerpiece of the message. To me, it hinges on whether you get the body, whether you take a body change and be alive or whether you have to die and go by the grave. This is the hinge point, the centerpiece. Now, whether you believe it or not, this age requires you to have this before you take a body change and not die. All right? So there's life and death has been presented to you, just like Moses said. Moses comes over and he said, life and death has been presented to you. Well, today, life and death is being presented to you. If you're not a believer, you're not going to believe it. That makes you an unbeliever. But if you're a believer, then believing these things, as we were talking about, believing these things, actually believing gives you a desire. It gives you a desire. If you believe that God's going to do this for you, you got to have a desire. Because if you don't, then if you lack these things, you're blind. What? Blind not physically, blind spiritually. You don't have a revelation. Mom, what are you doing sitting over there? I looked over and saw an empty nest. Good to see Tommy and Brother Ernest with us today. But I lost you there for a minute. I have to see if Mama's there so everything's all right. Ain't nothing like that Mama nod. Right. Nothing like it. If you sit there and do like this, you better go crawl under a bench somewhere. Brother Branham said the mother knows, right? The mother's the one that knows. She's the one that knows how you act and how, you know, she knows how you are. Can't fool a mama. Amen. Amen. Can't fool the mama. And Sister Trudy, yeah, Nyla, you go over there and shake your head, uh-huh. You know, she was like shaking her head, looking at her mama. So she knows. Can't get away from that. But it's got to be a desire, because each one of these virtues, sure, we got the Holy Ghost down here at faith. Faith equals a new birth, equal the Holy Ghost. All right? But we must have, Brother Brown, remember, he said, faith alone won't do it. Right. Now, faith will get you in the body. Right. Faith will get you into the new birth where you can be in the family of God, and you get all the benefits of being in the family. Right. But getting the benefits and using them are two different things. Right? Right? You can go to the reading of the will, which that's what we're doing today. You can go to the reading of the will, but you can say, no, I don't want that. I don't want that. Yeah, sure you can. You can say, I don't want that. Give it to somebody else. Well, that's what these virtues are. These virtues are promises, are gifts that God has given us, put in the church for us to what? Become a perfect man. Now look, your soul is already perfect at the new birth. Right? Your soul's already perfect at the new birth. All right? But you have to grow in grace and knowledge in this guy. Right. This guy's got to grow. Because the Holy Ghost never had to grow. Right. It is what it is. Right. He's the great I am. He's the one that knows everything. And that's the problem with us. I say us, all of us, is the reason we've been here still for 50 years since the prophet left. Because we haven't realized what we got when we got the Holy Ghost.
Right.
It took a prophet of God to bring us to a level to really understand what the new birth was.
Right?
That it was all these virtues working in your life, not just being there. Because Jesus, all these virtues was in Him and working.
Right.
Amen? Right? He walked, Brother Brown said, in a world of perfect faith. Right? He walked in a world of perfect faith. And obviously He had virtue. We read it the other day, how virtue went from Him. Sure, he had so much knowledge, he confounded the scholars.
Sure.
Temperance, he should have got a lot more mad than he did. Old fools and slow of heart. Now, what if I told y'all that? You know, I heard a brother the other day saying that Jesus was a mild-mannered guy. Well, no, he wasn't. He was, and he had compassion for everybody. But when he come to that, because you always have problems with the religious people.
Right.
He didn't have problems with the drunks. He didn't have problems with the prostitutes. He had problems with the religious people.
Right.
With the religious people. And he would say, hey, you got a different daddy than me.
Right. Yes.
And they perceived what he was talking about finally, and they got mad at him and they wanted to stone him.
Right.
So that's the same way it's going to be. It's going to be the religious people that's going to push us. Not the sinners. The sinners really don't care. Really, they don't. I mean, if they're unbelievers, they're just unbelievers. I mean, you know, what you got to have is you got to have that virtue to draw them in.
Right.
All right? You got to have virtue, temperance. And obviously, Jesus had patience. He was God, so He presented godliness, brotherly kindness. And then, absolutely, He was the most loved that ever was given because He gave His life when He didn't have to.
Right.
He gave His life for everybody, not just His chosen. He gave His life for everybody. So this is actually a study on the new birth, but it's also a study on how to act once you get the new birth.
Right.
All right, so I just want to kind of background for some that hadn't been here in a little bit. And these are all overcomings. You are not going to... I told my cousin the other day, and he kind of liked it. We met with Terry Dale. He's letting us borrow a part of his warehouse to use for our beekeeping adventure. So we were talking about all these things, and he said it's been a rough week. I said, yeah, we wasn't called with spoons and forks. We wasn't called to a picnic. We were called to a battle with swords and shields. And he liked that because he probably never heard that before, but that's it. It's true. This is not a picnic.
Right.
To overcome means you gotta overcome who first? You.
Right.
All right, then you gotta overcome all the adversity that goes around you. And remember, you must suffer to reign.
Right.
Suffer to reign. But and power without character. See, you can have power. You shall receive power. We'll read it in a minute. Once the Holy Ghost comes. All right? You receive power, but how you use it is either going to be a stumbling block to the unbeliever, or even satanic to the nature that you'll use it wrong.
Right.
All right? That's the truth. That's the truth anyhow, whether you believe it or not. All right? Now, and also, like we were talking about, all these are nice. That's a pretty drawing. But how do we get them? Go to Ephesians 4.
Right.
We'll cut it down real short because we've read it already. But Ephesians 4, this is Peter telling us what we need. But it's going to be Ephesians 4 that Paul picks up. And Brother Dale and I were talking, going to pick up Luis the other day. You know, honestly, the point that I made was, who's writing this? Who's writing this? Paul.
Right.
Paul, right, the Holy Ghost. But Paul's writing this. He didn't get it from the Ephesians.
That's
right. Sure, he got it from God, but where did he get the virtues from?
Right.
Old Testament.
Right.
He pulled them by the Holy Ghost, the filter, pulled it out of that Old Testament. That's all Paul had. He didn't have a Bible.
Right.
He didn't have a quote book. He was making the quote book.
Right.
Amen? So he pulled it out of the Old Testament. I wished I had time because I began thinking about all the things that happened in the Old Testament that could bring out virtue, knowledge, temperance, because that's all Paul had. Now, he may have heard Peter preach about it. He may have.
Yeah.
But what if he didn't? Because remember, Paul spent time out here and Peter was over here. And when they come together, the prophet of God said they were preaching the same thing.
Amen.
All right? So Paul pulls it out of the Old Testament, this right here.
Right.
He gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. So you can't get it any other way. But for the perfecting of the saints, the work of the ministry, edifying of the body of Christ. Till, so in other words, we do have a journey, till we come to the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ.
Right.
All right, so that's how we get it. And look, Hebrews 5:14. Let's just run through these scriptures again. But strong meat belonging to them, they're of full age. Now see, babies have a characteristic.
Right?
Right.
But adults have another characteristic.
Amen.
Okay, it's not that they do away with them. They take what they had, and they what? By reason of use. See, a 14-year-old kid says, I can drive that car. No exercising.
Right.
He's got to practice.
Right.
Heard the old adage, practice what you preach. Well, you got to practice.
Right.
Says, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern, and that's where we come into knowledge, is discernment between good and evil.
Right.
All right? So strong meat belongs to them, they're full age. Now, everybody's not at full age, but at least if you get yourself under the fountain of a full age minister.
Yeah.
Amen?
Because
right. if a preacher's still a baby, you're not going to grow.
Right.
If a preacher's a baby, because you can't go no higher than a pastor, if he's preaching baby, that's okay. But everybody must continue up that ladder.
Right.
Even the preacher.
Amen.
All right? Now, let's go to Hebrews 6. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Now, we covered all that. Of the doctrine of baptism and of laying on of hands and resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit.
Right. All right?
So Paul's saying we got to take that foundation and build on it.
Right.
All right? Hebrews 11, 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Who? God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is what? God.
Right.
And a rewarder of them that diligently, there's that word diligent. Paul liked that word and so did Peter. Diligently seek him.
Right.
And in Hebrews 11, 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now let's go back to our chart just 1 second and realize one thing's for sure. It's going to take a lot of faith. Because it's real wide down here, but watch how it narrows up. But it's going to take a lot of faith.
Right.
Put that first chart back up, Brother Anderson. Because look, faith is the substance of things hoped for.
Right.
The evidence of things not seen. Now, you can't take, we were talking about that a few minutes ago, you can't take my brain out and show me virtue.
Yeah.
So it's unseen. But it can be shown. Right? It can be manifested. Same way with Brother Dale, what he's preaching on. You know, you can't see God. But the vessel he's in is manifesting who that person is. And this, look, faith is the substance. What is the substance? It's something more real. Because to me, your new birth is more real than you are. We must realize, if we realize that the new birth that we got is more real than this man you see standing here, then that man will take over. The problem's been is we've had this man suppress that man so much till he can't work. But by use, by exercising strong muscles of faith, to me now, when I read faith is the substance, here's the substance.
That's right.
This is the substance of your faith. You can't have these virtues without having this faith first. You can have human ones, but not temperance faith and knowledge faith and virtue faith like we've been talking about. Because it comes straight from God. All right? So you have to start here, and this is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence, because what? This is going to be an evidence. This is going to be an... It's going to be evident... Who has these virtues? Because Brother Bram said you can know where you're at God, with God, at any time. So the substance of this faith, of my faith, from now on, the substance of my faith is going to be those things right there. Amen. That's the substance. The only way I'm going to show my faith is by living those virtues.
Right.
All right? Everybody, is that okay?
Amen.
All right? But there, it's a belief and a conviction. It's a conviction. We must be convinced that this is the end time. We must be convinced that God sent us a prophet. But we also need to be convinced that somebody has come to speak to you to bring you to these things. Because you're not going to get them sitting out under a tree or where you think you can sit in your living room and get them. You can't.
Right.
All right? You just can't. You just can't. Because the Bible said you can't. All right? So now let's go to, we went through justification, outside court. Sanctification, still outside. But here's the inner court. This is the Holy of Holies. This is where you and God alone are. You can have a lot of things go on here and not be in the body of Christ. But once you receive that new birth, because remember, you can get the Holy Ghost and not be born again. On your spirit, an anointing. All right. But once you get the new birth, that means you have been what? Regened. Are regenerated from that man that we were talking about, this man that was born of Samuel and Peggy Dale. Now, there's not two or three people in me. I'm not a schizophrenic.
Right.
Okay? But when God comes in and he molds to my soul, Brother Brown talks about vulcanize. He vulcanizes that thing together. And when he does, then it's not God's faith anymore.
Right.
It's your faith. Because it didn't say add to God's faith.
Right.
It said add to your faith.
Right.
The faith that you got, add virtue. So now let's go to the chart with virtue on it. Now remember, you got to add to what you believe these virtues. What you believe, because remember, we'll read that quote in a few minutes. Let's go ahead and read quote 1, 2, and 3. I'm sorry, I skipped ahead here. Sorry, Brother Anderson, I heard him. Could be put it in reverse. Statue of perfect man. This is one I like. I'm going to read it every time that we're here. Notice, you must be born again. And when you're born again, you can't be born again without having faith. That's right. So you see on my chart here, I got the very foundation. Faith is the foundation of all of it. And I scroll all the way up to here. You're possessed of one that dominates your life. Just depends on how much faith you have is how high you can rise. So it's left all up to you. You can study to make yourself approved, or you can sit there and, you know, whatever you want to do. We can't make you. That's one thing for sure. But first, it's got to be faith. Let me stay on that foundation for a while. Faith is what you must believe. So you got to believe it. And what is it? It's a holy evidence. You can present a little bit of virtue and knowledge, but it's got to be a holy virtue, or what we call virtue faith. Now go to that one now, of the chart of virtue faith. Add to what you believe, virtue. All right, which is virtue faith. Right here. There's virtue faith. That's what we're climbing up the ladder. We're going up the ladder there to perfection. All right? Remember, we're working on life and godliness. So we're working on the life we live plus the godly part of us being Christians. Mark 5, verse 30. Just to kind of get to, we'll try to get to one more virtue and then we'll do the next one this evening. Mark 5, verse 30. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" Right. All right, so there's the virtue part that we're looking at. Something had gone out of him, which virtue now we understand is what? Strength.
Right.
Virtue is strength. Because what did Jesus tell him here in, let's define virtue. It should come up next. All right, see, it's called dunamis, which is power, mighty work, and strength. So your faith has got strength. But Brother Branham said, remember, your faith has to have muscles. Remember, he said, your faith has got to have muscles.
Amen.
All right? But it's an inherent power. So when you get the new birth, that power's in there. It's inherent.
Right.
Power residing in a thing by virtue of its nature. So see, we're talking about the very nature of God. So the virtues are the very nature of God.
Right.
All right? But you still are on free moral agency. You can choose every day whether to accept or reject what you hear, what you see, and what you do. All right? See, that comes to me up to knowledge, but you got to have virtue or strength. You got to have a strong faith before you can have knowledge. Not just faith. Faith alone won't do it, remember. You got to have virtue faith, which is a strength faith, moral power, and excellence of soul. Listen, all these things are overcomings. You can put the word overcoming in all that. Because, look, without moral power, what are you going to be? I-M-M-O-R-A-L. You're going to be immoral. Without moral power, you're going to do immoral things, right? We all did.
Right?
But with moral, but with the new birth, it gives us moral power and excellence of soul. That puts it right down into person, right? All right, let's go to Acts 1, verse 8. This is the same dunamis. Jesus telling them, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you.
Exactly.
After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And to me and you, that uttermost part means us. Because it came to you and I. But remember, he didn't just say that to the disciples. He said it to us. You shall receive power. Dunamis. Virtue. After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Because in Acts 3, I didn't put it down, but you remember in Acts 3 what happened. Peter. He has no money. He doesn't have a, you know, he's probably quit his job because he's going around preaching and teaching and all that, you know, and trying to live off the tithes of the people. That probably didn't work very well. But he didn't have no money for this man. He said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto you. What did he give him? That power. That power that came out of him, that man, he said, look on us. Well, see, that was very powerful because what he done, he got his attention, the prophet of God. He got his attention to quit looking at all the other stuff. And you know what I believe the man? The man entered into a channel to even forget about that his legs didn't work.
Right.
And that's what we have to do. We got to enter into a channel of so much faith till we forget about what we're hurting or what's doing this or what's doing that to us. He entered into so much of a channel of virtue that he forgot that he couldn't walk.
Right?
Right? He forgot he couldn't walk because the next thing that happened was Peter reaches and gets him, picks him up, and the Bible says strength entered into his legs.
Right.
All right, well, it wasn't there before.
Right.
It had come from somewhere. So that's the same thing with you and I in this virtue faith that we must have, this powerful faith, and it's a substance that's added to your faith.
Right?
Because faith is a substance, all right? Talking about the generator the other day. We're talking about, you know, plugging in the generator. We believe that generator has power, so we plug into that generator, and we're able to do things. Well, you know what the generator is? That's God himself. He don't need an atomic power. He doesn't need Georgia power to do anything for him. No, he has his own power.
Right.
And you know what? He didn't keep it. He gave it out. He gave the blessings out to me and you so that we can plug into that generator. And we can get something from God. All right, let's go to quote number 4. Statue of a perfect man. I like this one because you know what? You can have virtue. Like I said many times before, there are, and it's a characteristic that we all, we have it one or we don't have it. Yeah. You can have I've seen teachers that shouldn't be teachers. I'm talking about natural. I'm not talking about here. I'm talking about natural teachers in the world that went to school 18 years, got 73 degrees, and couldn't teach a mule how to turn around and walk the other direction. It's just a gift. But he or whoever it was, they got the power, the degrees, the knowledge. They got all that. They just didn't have a way to a pass that can pass through to the people. So God says, okay, I'm going to get a pastor, evangelist, a teacher, a preacher, and all these five things. And that's my outlet, right? That's my pass that I'm going to pass it to you. Well, now look, it's not a dead-end street when it passes to you. It keeps going. All right, so I've got to have virtue and a pass that it can pass forward from me to the people. All right, same way with all of us. Because virtue went out of him to the people. Before you can let it out, you got to have it first. You haven't got it, it won't come out. There's nothing for it to come out of. All right? Somebody looking at you as a Christian and tomorrow see you out there carrying on like a sinner, not much virtue can be drawn from that, see, right? Right? What happens is, it's like Brother Brown said, it becomes a stumbling block when you go and you profess one thing and then you act like another. And you know what? Let's be honest. A lot of times we do act like sinners. Oh, it's just me then. I'm sorry, it's just me. Pray for me. Maybe I'm the one that needs to be taught all this. No, it happens to all of us. But remember, we're human. That's human mistakes, but it's what we do afterwards. It's what we do afterwards. We sin every day, but, you know, we ask God to forgive us. And it's not just to me, it's not just God forgive me and then go on. No, you really have, because godly sorrow leadeth you to repentance. Something inside of you says, I need to repent for that. All right? So that's the same, and that's what virtue is, though, because what you're drawing from the virtue of God.
Right.
And he's inside of you. You don't have to bring it from somewhere. You just got to let it come out. All right? So see, you carrying out like a sinner. Not much virtue can be drawn from that. See? Right. Okay? So now that's virtue. Virtue is strength, power. It's a substance that's added to your faith. So it's virtue. It's not something you can touch or feel or draw. But it's something that you live out. Okay? You live it out. And there's no way you can live it out unless you have it. So you got to have it to live it out. And you got to have somebody to teach you how to know that you might already have it. Do you understand what I'm saying? That you already got it. It's just got to be brought out. That's why I said a good teacher will teach you how to get things done. I've always said, don't tell me how to do something. Show me how to do it. Remember the old adage, you know, take somebody fishing 365 days a year. But if you'll ever teach him how to fish one time, you won't have to go with him to 364 days. He'll know how to fish. That same way with the Word of God. And I believe that's what Brother Dale's done. He's built some character in a lot of us that we can fish now. You know, we don't have to depend on him fishing all the time. He is the chief fisherman, though. He's got to fish first. He's our pastor, so there's no doubt where that comes from. Amen. That was a weak amen. Oh well. Some of you really just can't get over it, can you? Knowledge. We need to have knowledge. Here's one I really enjoy, because knowledge to me brings, if you got virtue, but watch, you got to have knowledge faith. So you take the faith that you got and you've got to discern now. Today you're discerning, just like I said last Sunday, today you're discerning whether I'm telling you the truth or not. Whether my ways of showing it, like Brother Dale, now, sometimes the way you show it, you just got to look at the Word. Look at what the Word that's being said. Jesus was telling those Pharisees, you bunch of sinners, hypocrites. I mean, he named all that off, but he was trying to get them to see they were lost so that when he did die, they would know that he died for them and they'd go get saved. He wasn't just telling them. Sure, he knew whether they were lost forever. But you know what? God knew before he even created a man who was going to be lost and who wasn't. But you know what? He's let this thing go 6, 7, 8, 9,000 years. What a patient God. He knows who's going to be saved. So, Brother Richard, why does he put up with us? He's got patience. He's got all kind of patience. He said thousands of years of being patient. Amen? That's why I love God and His Word. So we have knowledge, faith. So now let's go to Proverbs 1, just for background. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now everybody knows what instruction is. It's like the scripture that says if you can't take correction, you're a different kind of child. All right? So, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Because what did Jesus say? He said, fools and slow of heart. What? They didn't take His instruction. They didn't use the wisdom He was given at the time. But remember, He was talking to the disciples when He said fools. Yeah. Oh, fools and slow of heart. But when they received the new birth, they weren't fools anymore.
Right.
That's why God had patience. Proverbs 24:5, just to kind of get us up to the next one. A wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increases strength. So see, you look how God built that. Faith, virtue, strength. Now you come up here to knowledge. Well, you don't do away with that strength. You take that strong virtue and you add it to your knowledge. Amen? Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge. It's all connected. So increases that strength that you have. Now, let's just be real honest. You can listen to somebody make a speech and get something out of it. But boy, there's some people that can just hold your attention. Brother Branham could just hold your attention. He was, and because that was his gift, that he could hold your attention. And what did you add when you saw that the man had strength? What? You discerned that what he was saying was right. Okay, so you discerned what he was saying was the truth. So if you discern what he was saying was the truth, then see, you go on right on up to temperance and patience, because you can't move without having these virtues as they're given. They're given in that line because God knows the only way we're going to get it is that line. Or he would have put it another way. Because remember, when God thinks of something, he can't change the thought. The thought he has to come straight down. Not like you and me. We can have a thought, change it. God can't. God can't have a thought and then say, oops. No, whatever he said, that's what it is. That's why we can depend on this, the word of God, that if he said it, it's going to happen. Alright? Alright, so now, the word knowledge means gnosis. And it's knowledge signified in general intelligence. Of course, that's man's knowledge. The general knowledge of Christian religion. But look, the deeper or more perfect and enlarged knowledge of this religion.
Right.
Such as belongs to what? More advanced.
Right.
Paul says those that want meat. That comes from milk wants meat. You never get from 1 plus 1 equals 2. 2 plus 2 equals, 4. You don't ever get away from that.
Right.
All
right?
You have to use that right on up into calculus and trigonometry and all those things. So you same thing. The more you look at this, Brother Bob asked me last Sunday, he said, you were holding out downstairs. I said, no, I just didn't know that 2 years ago. I said, God's revealed more to me. I wasn't holding it back. Bob said, you've been holding back. You didn't say any of that downstairs. I said, well, I'm not holding back. I said, it's just become more real than it was then.
Amen.
That's why I know it's a revelation. When it becomes more real and you think, man, I got this thing down, statue of perfect man, 60 sermons, I can do this and I can walk up here and I can do the same thing again, and then God just raised it on up another level.
Right.
And same thing with your understanding. Your understanding has got to be the same way. I can know all this, and if I can't get it to the people, you got to have a pass. Got to be able to get it to the people. All right? Such as belongs to more advanced, especially if things lawful and unlawful for Christians, moral wisdom such as is seen in what? Right living. Remember, we're talking about life and godliness. All right, so we're talking about how we live our normal life and be Christians and know how to live that life. Because remember, let's be honest. We live a Christian life all the time, honestly, we do. But 80% of the time, it's work, home life, problems. Amen? It really is. That's why that I have to come here to get my fuel and get all that dirty stuff off of you, because 80% of the time you live in the flesh.
Right.
All right? But that Christianity is 100% of the time. It's just got to live out. You got to let it live out. If you don't have it, it ain't going to live out. All right? Reason why I'm saying this is I'm getting to a point here that I want to make. I don't think that being at the full stature of a perfect man makes you a God zombie. Where's Luis? Talk about them zombies. It don't make you a God zombie. You know, where you're just brainless. Or it doesn't actually make you where Sister Sharon has to go up on a... Hey, Sharon. Good to see you. Has to go up... She don't have to go up on the mountain and talk to Yoda. You understand what I'm talking about? Just in plain terms. You don't have to go to the man. You know, all the comic books and everything. If there's a wise man, he's always way up on the mountain sitting by himself. See, that doesn't make you that. Either way, it makes you a balanced person. A balanced Christian is what lives out these virtues. And sure, he that lacketh these things is blind. And that's true. We are blind in certain ways. I was blind. I taught Sunday school downstairs. I went through all these virtues. And I still was blind of certain things. Until God opened my eyes, studying a little bit deeper, going over things. Remember, exercising. Exercising your faith. You know, if you want to get real good at something, you got to learn it. You got to exercise it. You got to do those things. But knowledge, the deeper, more perfect, and enlarged knowledge of this religion. All right? I say Christianity because remember, religion can be something else. Religion can be of the devil. But a Christian can't be of the devil. Amen? All right, let's go to quote number 5. And let's read what the prophet of God said about this. I'm spending a little too much time on this, but I'm sorry. I think we need to really get down. If we don't get these down here at the bottom, them up here at the top, Brother Brown said, if you don't have them, those first ones right, you're going to fall off. And then thirdly, you add knowledge. Knowledge. Now, that don't mean worldly knowledge, because that's foolishness to God. But knowledge to judge. Judge what? Right from wrong. How do you judge it? Then if you got Christian knowledge with your virtue, what did he say? Your virtue. It now has become your virtue. Alright? Christian knowledge with your virtue and faith, you judge whether the word is right or wrong. Alright, even when we judge, let me add this, even when we judge that it's right, we still got an avenue that we got to go through.
Right.
We just can't, hey listen, we can all say the word of God's right. Close the book and go home. Now, is it really that? No. You know better than that. Because remember, the devil was there when this was wrote. And if you can lay aside all your creeds and your unbelief, everything that you claim to have done, then you have knowledge to believe that God cannot lie. Let every man's word be a lie, but mine be true. See, now you're getting knowledge,
right. That's
supreme knowledge.
Glory.
You don't have to have 4 degrees in some college or something like that to have it. Because all these virtues are given to you by God to place upon the foundation of your faith that you, hey, I like the Brother Brown puts it all back on you,
amen,
that you might come to the full stature of a real living man of God. Yes, sir. I like that quote. Let's go to the next one. Because I want to strike that, and then we're going to get into temperance. I'll make you all mad for a second service. I really want you to get mad with yourself. I got mad with myself when I started doing, when I started over, that I should have, Brother Bob, I should have dug a little bit deeper. I was a little dilatory in studying, that I didn't go way deep into these things. But not knowing that God was, you know, going to help us do this. Or you're getting to be a pretty good man right now. You're coming up. What with? With faith, then with virtue, then knowledge. See how it's building this man. You can see there's no way escaping it. This is the way to become in the full stature of Christ. Yes, sir. To judge right. Judge whether it's right or wrong to believe God's word. Judge whether it's right or wrong, whether I should serve a creed or serve God. Judge whether it's right or wrong, I should be born again or join a church. Then you beginning, judge right. When the preacher says the days of miracles is past, the Bible says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, which you going to believe? See, it all comes still back to you. It's what you believe is what going to determine it. All right, so let's let me say a few things here, and then we'll go to temperance. But remember, that word knowledge also meant discernment. Now, discernment means the ability to pick right from wrong. So you're discerning even at home life, even here, anywhere. You're every day you're discerning between whether you should do this or shouldn't do this, or whether this is right or this is wrong, or whether I should see this or shouldn't see this. Amen. All right. A lot of that's human knowledge, but remember, discernment. Brother Brown said to see whether the word's right or not. Amen. Listen, the Bible says forsake father, mother, sister, brother, and follow me. Now, how many of us do that? Well, my sister's sick, or my brother's sick, or my cat's dog died, and you don't show up for church. It's an overcoming. That's how silly some of the excuses are. Excuses. But discernment is required of a Christian. It's a requirement. That's why knowledge is a requirement, because it's required for you to discern. You know what discernment's going to do? It's going to put you down the right path or the wrong path. Right. And I'm not talking whether going backwards. I'm talking about in your new birth.
Right.
The discernment, if it's required of you, it's going to run you down here. How many of you went to another church and you decided or discerned that wasn't where you needed to be?
Right.
Amen. So what did your discernment do? See, you had discernment then.
Right.
You discerned that something else was better than what you had over here.
Right.
All right? And discernment also comes to the word wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to think and act using knowledge. Because wisdom requires that you know something about something.
Right.
You can't have wisdom, like I said, about electricity, and not have knowledge of it, and not have participated in a class, or either learned by a journeyman, a trade, or something. Somebody showed you. See? So there's wisdom, the ability to think and act using knowledge, experience, understanding, common sense, and that last word we used, which we ended up last Sunday, was insight. That word insight is you can put it right there with knowledge. All right? And look at what Brother Branham said. The quote number 7, and then we'll get into temperance just for a minute and speak a bit. Temperance and patience maybe a little bit later on. Quote number 7, all right, God manifesting his gifts. Well, I may stop here just a minute that I believe these nations are getting their last mercy call. I believe I'm on record on tape by saying it, but I believe it with all my heart that there's not a person on earth who could ever shake this thing back to its condition again. So we forget about that. All right, we're not trying to reform the world. This statue of a perfect man is trying to transform nominal or baby Christians into full-fledged adults. All right, and an adult took a body change; the baby didn't. The man, Christ Jesus, not the baby. It'll take the move of God, the second coming of Jesus Christ. So the only thing that's going to ever shake or move this thing is the second coming of Jesus Christ.
Right.
All right? Look at the indifference in the people today. Look how unconcerned they are. You even see it in the Christian world.
Yeah.
I talking to a guy the other day that's a Baptist, and I think they're done with what the denominational world's doing to them.
Right.
Or for them. Nothing. There's nothing. There's nothing for them out there. But now remember, that's why I made that statement the other Sunday. The foolish virgin in the Bible come to the wise virgin. Why were they looking for oil? Why weren't they satisfied where they'd been all them years? They felt a pull. They felt somebody that's come all the way up this statue of a perfect man. I'm not talking about one person. I'm talking about a group that has come to a place to where God, they feel the pull of God, and they think, well, hey, I want some of that. I want some of that, so I'm going to come and get. I know where to go get it from. Those foolish virgins didn't wander around in the wilderness. They came right to the wise virgin and said, give us some of your oil. What's oil? The Holy Ghost. Give us some of that. Where and a lot of them are in justification. A lot of them are in sanctification. They live a good sanctified life, but they just have nobody to take them on to the new birth. All right? But look at the indifference in the people today. Look how unconcerned they are, eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, just as it was predicted. having a form of godliness and denying the power thereof, the Bible said, from such turn away. Very religious. He didn't say very Christian. He said very religious. They've always been religious, but not having the spiritual insight to understand. That's the main thing. That's the thing that designates your eternal destination is your spiritual conception. I like that. Your spiritual conception of what? Of what you're hearing. All right, let's go to the next one. You recall that I mentioned at the beginning of this message that this book we are studying, which is the Bible, is the actual revelation of Jesus himself in the church and his work in the future ages. Now, that's what Brother Dale's been reading in Revelation 1. Then I mentioned that it takes the Holy Spirit to give us revelation or we will fail to get it. Bringing these two thoughts together, you will see that it won't take just ordinary study. I get onto the Sunday school class downstairs a lot when we do responsive reading. They read it like reading a newspaper. A comma means you got to pause. Think about something. Right? A period. Stop. Instead of just reading it like a newspaper. I've stopped them several times, haven't I? Amen. I've stopped them many times. I said, we reading it like a newspaper. You're not reading it to be, you're reading it just to get through. You heard people that go through the motions just to get through school? And the teachers didn't like them so much, they graduated them? Well, I wasn't one of those, but there's a brother of mine that... he made it. Thank the Lord. It's always the middle child. Always. That means this book can't be revealed. Look, it's going to take the operation of the Holy Ghost. All right. That means this book can't be revealed to anyone but a special class of people.
Right.
What? Believers.
Right.
That you believe that's where you're going to get it from.
Right.
All right. It will take one with prophetic insight.
Right.
Exactly. Or prophetic knowledge.
Right.
All right. It will require the ability to hear from God. It will require supernatural instruction. Not just a student, is what I'm saying. Not just a student comparing verse with verse. Because if you compare verse to verse, you got Matthew 28:19, Acts 2:38. You got several here that look like they're contradictory, but they're not. But they look contradictory to an untrained eye. But once you see the revelation, it will require spiritual instruction. That Matthew 28:19 says the same thing as Acts 2:38 said. All right, same thing. There's no deviation. It's the same thing. All right. But it's just hidden from the wise and prudent. Not just a student comparing verse with verse. Though that is good. But a mystery requires the teaching of the Spirit or it never becomes clear. How we need to hear from God and lay ourselves open and become yielded to the Spirit to hear and know. And that word know is part of what?
Right.
Knowledge.
Right.
Knowledge. All right. It's the ability to know. All right. Is everybody okay with knowledge? So it's got to be discerned. You got to have wisdom, and wisdom comes from that. Because you know what? Without discernment, how good is your wisdom?
Right.
I mean, how good is it? If you can't, you got to discern first before you become wise.
That's right.
All right. And then you know what? Then somebody can draw from that. It's like Brother Brown said, and like Brother Dale said several times. And sure, I feel sorry for rookie doctors, but you got to have your first operation sometime. But I would like to have one that had some experience operate on me. But somebody's got to be the practitioner or the one to practice. But I would like to have somebody with what? Wisdom that's been through that, that's opened that chest up and seen that heart before. All right? Because that's me you're dealing with. Right? So I want somebody with some wisdom. And some discernment and some knowledge. That's human knowledge, but what about the same way with God? How are we going to draw strength and knowledge from somebody, you know, that doesn't know the Word of God?
Right.
You know, you just can't. There's no way you can do that. You know, I made the statement the other day about June's dad. He's just a wealth of knowledge as far as a businessman. But as far as knowing God, he doesn't. So I can't draw strength from that. I can't go over there and draw strength from God for that, but now I can go draw strength of a business mind, which that's fine. You got to do that every day. That's the same way with discernment. You got to, I mean, how would it be that, like, say, if you go to somebody and you say, well, this guy's going to teach us how to become successful. And you say, well, okay, who is it? He said, well, his name's, you know, Bill Jones. Bill Jones? Bill Jones has been bankrupt 14 times. Yeah. And he's bankrupt now. How's he going to teach us anything? So, all right, so how are we going to draw virtue? See, the virtue's not there. So definitely the knowledge is not there.
Right.
See how these virtues work together? The virtue of me wanting to pay to go hear this guy, right? I ain't going to do it. Because I'm discerning that guy, if he's in 14 bankruptcies, he ain't somebody I want to hear about. Maybe he wants to tell us things not to do, but not things to do. Right? So that's the same way with knowledge in God. You want to come to this service, wherever you go, and you want to believe that God's going to reveal something to you. Doesn't matter who's speaking. Doesn't matter if it's Brother Collie reading a responsive reading, or Brother Dick singing, you know, the right song, you know. To get you in an atmosphere, it's God through the whole thing, trying to get you to see Brother Richard, Brother Boyd, and all those, you know, the song leaders set that atmosphere. But that's the way it is with God. So now we see that it must take prophetic insight. All right. Now let's go to the next one. This one is temperance. And it's not, Brother Brown said, we'll read it. He said, it's not. Quit drinking and all that stuff.
Right.
That goes out right here. So don't think this right there.
Right.
It goes out right here.
Right.
And it don't go no further. If you're still drinking, Lord Jesus, I hope nobody is. But if you're still doing that, you're not even in the body yet.
Right.
Let's just let the rubber hit the road where it is.
Right.
If you're still cussing, if you're still doing the things of the world, don't worry about this. You ain't got that yet.
Right.
You definitely ain't got that.
Right.
Or that. So let's just start. You know, I wish to God, like Brother Dale said, I wish we all could say, well, Lord Jesus, I'm right here. Okay, that's good. At least you realized it.
Right.
Jesus couldn't get the Pharisees to see that they were right there.
Exactly.
If he could get them to see that, they'd have went to the upper room and got that.
Right.
But they didn't see it, all right, because of their what? Their choice. They leaned on their own understanding of that Old Testament. We have Moses' quote book. Well, you know what? Moses' quote book killed them.
Right. Yep.
Moses' quote book, just like Brother Brown's quote book, will kill you if it's not revealed. Amen? The letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. All right, so now let's look. We come through virtue faith, knowledge faith. Now let's come to temperance faith. Now look. What is temperance? We'll define it in a minute, but I want you to, the Lord showed me this, because when you say, well, I got to control my temper. Well, where's that word control? Look at the word control. So let's take, hold that right there, but listen to me. It says self-control, but it becomes not just temperance faith. It becomes a controlled faith. Because a lot of times our human emotion comes above that. Controlled faith. You know who had, you know, and I'll read it in a minute. The greatest definition or illustration of controlled faith was when Jesus was on the boat asleep. Remember? Jesus was asleep on the boat. The disciples were up and storm came. He was asleep. He had to be woke up. But once he was woke up, the first thing he didn't do, he didn't start looking at circumstances. He didn't start looking at, well, can I do this? The Bible said he just turned, stepped on the bow of the boat and said, peace be still.
Right.
That's controlled faith.
Amen.
That's a faith under control, because those guys that were in the boat definitely were not under control.
Right.
Remember? They were shouting, how can you sleep when all this is going on? Well, he was tired. But look, self-control, the virtue of one who masters his desires and passions, especially his sensual appetite. You say, oh, that's sexual. No, anything your senses lean toward, passions and desires. Self-control. All right? Especially his sensual appetite, which we used to use a lot in other things. But remember, we must turn this temperance to a controlled faith, because what you got to do is, watch this, you got to say, I believe I can. You see what I'm talking about? We come through life thinking we can. I think. Jesus didn't think. Jesus stepped upon that boat, and he knew if he said what he said, that the wind and the waves had to obey what he said. That was a controlled faith. That was, I can get up and do this because I believe I can do it.
Right.
Now look, this is not, and I've kind of felt this last Sunday, and I hadn't felt it this Sunday, but this is not mind over matter. This is not, well, we got to have temperance. I got to have self. No, listen, it's something, I'll read it to you in a minute, what Brother Bram said about it, but it's something that you live out automatically.
Right.
Automatically. Because you know what's going to happen? God's going to put something in your way one day, and you're going to know whether you got it or not, because it's going to be the first thing that pops out of your mouth or your head or your desire, and you're going to say, Lord, that was me.
Right.
That was not you doing it. That was me doing it.
Right.
And so now I know then I need to have more temperance or self-control. Now, there are things that we can do, like Brother Branham said. He said that if you're stingy, what did he say? Do the vice versa. Give money away. Right? Now that sounds, you know, that sounds too simple, but it's the truth. If do the vice versa. Same thing with self-control. Self-control comes from where? It just tells you. Self. Self is where that control comes from. It comes from you. And it's, look, it's not, listen, it means that you're in control of any situation. Tell me one time when Jesus was out of control in any situation. And we're that's his temperance, right?
Right.
Tell me when he was when he was out of control. He said, well, he plaited the ropes and that went out of control. He knew what he was doing.
Right.
It was not blind. Jesus never had blind anger.
Right.
You and I sometimes have what? Blind anger.
Amen.
Amen? Amen? Then whose is it? It's yours. It's not God's. That's why I said temperance is pretty tough. I told him downstairs, temperance and patience really goes close together. Remember? We'll read it in a little bit. We'll read it this afternoon. That by the trying of your faith produces patience. And it also produces temperance. Because how are you going to know you got a temper unless somebody pushes the button? Yeah. That's right, Brother Dick. You need to do that first because it's a hot button. But look, self-control. Go back to Jesus and what he did. Now let's go to Mark 4 and we'll read that. Mark 4, verse 35. But it's self-control. Brother Brown says, you know, bathe my soul with self-control, you know. The same day when the evil ones come, he said unto them, let us pass over to the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there was also with him other little ships. So it wasn't just one ship. Bunch of ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. Now how in the world could somebody sleep during that? But he was. They awake him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? They thought it every bit on him. Carest not that we perish? Now look, there's right a lost mind. Not up on the boat. I'd have lost it right there. I'd have said, what do you mean? Can y'all not handle these boats? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? That's control. And we do. We lean on temper. But look at that temperance as even any situation. You don't have to get your dander up to be in control. Right? Watch Brother Branham. He was in control all the time. Jesus, all them demons. Watch people fleeing and running. And Brother Branham, I was reading it the other day where the maniac came to him. All the preachers on the pulpit, he said, run off. Left. Well, they surely didn't have control. But Brother Branham stood there and he said, something come from inside. And said, you fall at my feet. Right? It wasn't that man, because he knew that man could knock him off there. He knew the man had the ability. But remember, he had that controlled faith. That's what I said about many things. You look at, and I don't disagree with preachers doing what they do, but they try to build your faith up by shaking you or talking loud. Or Jesus never did that. Brother Branham never did that. And I don't see why we should have to do that. A controlled faith, that demon can't have a control over you if you don't let him. Now, if you already got one and you're talking to a demon, you're in trouble. Remember the seven sons of Sceva? What happened? Paul, we know. In other words, Paul, we feel there's something different about that man. Jesus, we know. But who are you? Nothing to ring, nothing, no control in it, nothing. So what happened? Those demons, what? Their power overtook any power that those seven sons had. Same way with you and I. It's like Brother Dale's always said, you don't deal with demons either. Jesus never dealt with a demon. He said, come out. That's all he said. He didn't scream at him. He said, come out. Well, that's, to me, that's controlled faith. That's a controlled faith. There was a controlled faith. And there was one I want to bring. It's kind of a little bit funny, but some of y'all don't know him. But me and Dad and Terrence knew of a man named Coy Cape. A man named Coy Cape, he come up about Daddy's age. And the guy could throw a baseball through those two double doors. Right? I mean, he was well known. But you know what one thing his problem was? He could not control his temper.
Right.
He could have pitched in the major leagues had he not controlled. And I'm telling you this as an analogy, but he had the power. He had the power to strike out the batters.
Right.
But if you were to taunt him or poke fun at him, he became so blindly mad till that ball didn't go across the plate, it went across your forehead.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So he had the power, he had the ability, but he didn't have the self-control to control his emotions when those things happened to him. Same thing with you and I, even being Christians. We have the power, but sometimes we get muddled up in all the things of the world or whatever we get, you know, we get to thinking about things. And Jesus said right here, what's the first thing? Why are you so fearful? Why are you fearing these things? What's the deal with this? Why do you have no faith? What he was saying was to him, he says, you ain't got no faith. That's what he's saying. He said, how is it that you have no faith? He's asking them. But you know what? They never answered him. Because they didn't have nothing to answer him with. Now, buddy, on the day of Pentecost, put Peter in that situation again, I believe Peter would have been the first one to stand up on the boat and say, peace, be still. I just believe that because he had the power, plus he had the virtues working in his life. It's like Brother Dale and I were talking the other day. This is not something that Brother Branham brought to us as how to live a Christian life. Some of you old Pentecostals, you lived a good Christian life before you heard of Brother Branham. So Brother Branham didn't come to bring us a new way to live a Christian life.
Right.
He come to enhance the Christian life we should already be living.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
Let me say that one more time. Enhance the Christian life.
Right.
Because remember, we've been living under creeds and denominations and all these things, all these binding things. And Brother Branham come to bring those loose ends together and to tie this thing up. And you know what? For us to be able then to go up the statue of a perfect man. Just like Peter did, because remember, Peter already went up this. Paul already went up this. The first church age, they were full of these people walking around that had all these virtues working in their life. Amen? So let's go to Titus 1 verse 7, and we'll stop here and then... Titus 1 verse 7 through 9, for a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine nor striker, which means hitting somebody, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate.
Yeah.
In other words, in control. Holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, as he hath been taught. All right, that he may be able to be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince. Not just tell them, Brother Richard, but convince them. Convince the gainsayers. All right, let's read one more, and then we'll read a quote, and then we'll finish this afternoon. Titus 2, verse 1 through 2, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Look at all this doctrine. That the aged men may be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and in patience. Let's read one quote. Brother, let's read quote 9, and then we'll stop right here and start this afternoon. Catch a perfect man. Brother Bram says, fourthly, we'll have to hurry. Just feels so good to stand here and talk about it. Brother says, we're enjoying it. Yeah, fourthly, thank you. Add temperance. Oh my, we've come to temperance. Now you've had faith first, have to have that to begin with. Right. Then you add virtue to your faith, if it's the right kind of virtue. Amen. Then you add knowledge, if it's the right kind of knowledge. Now you're going to add temperance. Temperance doesn't mean stop drinking alcohol here either. No, no. Temperance doesn't mean an alcoholic's cure, not in this case. This is Bible temperance, Holy Spirit temperance. That's just one of the lusts of the flesh. What? The drinking. That's what he's talking about, not the Holy Spirit temperance. He reverts back to the temperance that says stop drinking. That's just one of the lusts of the flesh, but we're talking about Holy Spirit temperance. That means how to control your tongue, not to be a tattler, how to control your temper, not fly off every time anybody speaks cross to you. Oh my. Boy, a lot of us are going to fall off before we get started, aren't we? See? He knew them people. See, when we wonder why God's not in his church doing miracles and things that he used to do. Yes, sir.
Right.
Add these things. Add temperance to it. Oh, temperance. How to answer in kindness when wrath is spoken to you. Amen? That Jesus, if thou be the Son of God, turn these stones to bread. Remember, Jesus could have just rebuked the devil, but he let him go on. Right? And let's read that one more quote, and then we'll stop right there. Musicians, you can start coming. Let's read number 10. And then we'll read these over again this afternoon. Statue of a Perfect Man, 1962. Now, if you got it like that, add it to your faith. If you still blow up and sass and fuss and stew and carry on, you ain't got no, you can't add that because it won't add.
Right.
When your knowledge is like his knowledge, go to paragraph 228. Roll it on up.
Right.
I come to do thy will, O God. With the Father's word, he defeated every devil. When you got that right kind of temperance like he had, it'll vulcanize. If you haven't, just a man-made halfway soused up belief for temperance, so I ought to slap him down. Maybe I better not, because they might put my name in the paper about it. That ain't the kind of temperance he's talking about. Don't try to add it. It won't work. But when you can really, with the sweetness from your heart, forgive every man, hold your peace, let it be gone, see, then it'll vulcanize. You can add that to your faith. Let's stand. Amen. Virtue, knowledge, temperance. We'll go back a little bit on temperance and then pick up patience tonight or this afternoon. I hope you're enjoying it. I really hope that it's really maybe giving you another angle. You know, you can get to New York 10 different ways, right? We're all going to the same place. But you know what? We're not going to lose. I don't believe we're going to lose these virtues when we get to glory. They're just going to be so enhanced. You say, boy, I had virtue down there on earth. Well, it ain't even a drop in a bucket to what you're going to have up there. Because you know what? There's going to be people on the outside of that city. Why are they going to want to come in that city? Why are they going to want to come into that city? They're going to draw strength from the people inside that city. They're going to draw virtue from the people inside that city. We're going to be able to walk out. I was thinking the other day, man, just be able to walk out into the world. There, not here. We do that anyway. But I mean, walk out over there, out of that city, and just be able to see the people that are eternal. Not going to change. Everything's going to be just fine. Maybe even see them work in a garden. Maybe have some bees or something, you know. Stingless bees. Praise God. Get done with them stingers, man. Hey, there won't be anything to stick you. Won't be anything to harm you. It'll just be pure. Something we can't even understand.
Right.
Temperance. Got to have it. It's a requirement. Mm-hmm. We got to have temperance. Let's sing. Go ahead.
596. We're going to start off in the chorus. I feel the pull.
I feel the pull.
If you have a need this morning,
I hear the call. I know His Spirit's moving me to give my all. He speaks to me, and I agree. Lord, please come and take control.
I feel the call to go over your door at your house. They're here to get. Heavenly Father, our brother is going to take this clock and put it over his house, Lord. Just as you required each one in the children of Israel to do the same thing, to put it over the doorpost and save them from the death angel. Father, we pray that as he puts this cloth over there, that anyone that enters or leaves will be made whole in Jesus' name. Amen.
With tongue or pen, the feeling's groaning deep within. It must be God here in my soul, because I feel
our
the
sister says her ears are hurting. And in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray that you'll take that away from her, Lord. And that you'll heal her, that she'll believe, Lord, what's been said, Father. That you're here, Lord, to hear all the things that we need, Father. Bless our sister, Lord, as she goes to school, does the things, Lord, in life, that you'll bless her, Lord. Take care of her. Protect her in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me go.
He speaks to me, and I agree.
Tomorrow, dear Lord Jesus, our brother's going to have a test, Father. All will be well in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hey, man, he
wants you to pray for him.
And with each line and phrase, he was drawing me to give.
Our little child, Lord, needs a healing in his head, Lord. We ask you, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, that you'll take this away from him, Lord. We believe, according to our faith, Lord, that our little child here will be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. We believe you, Lord, and we thank you for it. Protect him, Lord, as he goes to school and does the things of life, Lord, that you'll ever be with him, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You'll be fine. Amen. You'll be fine.
I feel the pull. I hear the call. I know His Spirit's moving me to give my all. He speaks to me, and I agree.
Oh Lord, please come and take control.
I feel the pull.
Feel the pull? Pull the word. You know, for those of you that weren't here, we put those prayer cloths over our door. And, you know, in the Old Testament, when the children of Israel were getting ready to leave, getting ready to get out of there, God told them, said, I require something of you. Kill a lamb. Take that blood. And the head of the household, put it over the doorpost. And the death angel will have to pass. He can't come into that house. And we did it a couple of Sundays ago, maybe last Sunday. I believe that. Put that thing over your doorpost. You say, well, that's what you believe. But scripturally, it's the truth, so you have to believe it. Take that prayer cloth, put it over you. Put it in your car. Put it over your house. So that anything coming or leaving, that'll spray right down on top of them. And wash you just so clean. Back and forth all the way. Hey, listen, we live a life. We live a life. We work. We have problems. We have cares of life that really does get in the way. But let's anchor our soul in one thing. God's word's true. What he said he'll do, he'll do it. Now, the requirement of you is to get in that same channel. You can't be over here and say, well, I believe that over there. No, you got to get into that. That's what the statue of perfect man is. It's an individual affair with God. But you got to get right in there with him and go up that statue of perfect man. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, as we go and eat a natural meal, that you would be with us, Lord, and take care of us. Let us chew on this spiritual food, Lord, and let it become part of us, Father. We know for sure that in our mouth it's sweet when you come down with your presence, but Lord, having to live it, it becomes a little bitter in our stomach, as you did with John there on the Isle of Patmos. But Father, it did become a part of John, and it was told for John to go and prophesy to nations and tongues and people. And that's what we're doing. We're out here, Lord, trying to be Christians, trying to live a life that people would want to draw strength from you, Lord. We ask just bless each one now. Take care of us till we come back together in you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.
Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it then where you go. Precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Take the name of Jesus.